This episode contains explicit language. A lot of explicit language. So consider yourself warned.
Good evening. Edwin S. Simon reporting. NBS News has obtained Pentagon documents that show our neighbor to the north, the sovereign nation of Canada, has embarked on a military program aimed at the United States.
Like maple syrup, Canada's evil oozes over the United States. How long will we remain silent to the screams?
Oh, Canada. Don't be alarmed, guys. This is not an actual news report, even though I know it sounds very realistic. It's from the classic film Canadian Bacon, which was hilarious until it started coming true. These days, Canadian food is invading America, led by poutine, that irresistible combination of French fries, cheese curds, and gravy. It's flooding across our northern border unchecked. I'm surprised Donald Trump isn't on this. Poutine is taking away jobs from hardworking cheese fries. Or maybe it does a job that cheese fries just won't do. Today on The Sporkful, we'll find out which it is, when we discuss Canadian food and culture with two awesome guests. In some ways, they're both stereotypical Canadians. In other ways, they're breaking the mold.
Also, when you're making this at fucking home, be careful, because if you get any of this shit on you, it will fucking burn your fucking skin off, okay? What I'm wearing right now is the worst possible situation for dealing with hot sugars, okay?
This is Chef Matty Matheson making donuts from scratch. And just to help you with a visual here, he's standing over a hot stove wearing a black leather mask and no shirt. He has a pretty big gut, and he's covered head to toe in tattoos. Matty's one of Canada's top chefs, and he loves his country. Here he is on his Vice food show, Keep It Canada.
We're here at the Birch Grove in St. George, New Brunswick. This is my mom, Joan. She's beautiful. This is my aunt, Iris. She's beautiful. I'm beautiful. We're gonna eat some deep fried clams. Check this out. Check these guys out. They're both married. Fuck off.
So that's Matty. I'll also be joined today by comedian Ophira Eisenberg, host of the great public radio game show Ask Me Another. Ophira is another proud Canadian, and she has her own opinions on her home and native land and its food.
You are supposed to come to a point in your evening where you're very drunk and you look at the person you're with and you go, should we have sex or should we have poutine?
Coming up, I'll challenge conventional poutine wisdom and I'll discuss Montreal bagels, maple syrup, and more with two guests who are polar opposites but who also share a polar bond. It's a Canadian invasion, but fear not, my fellow Americans. I stand on guard for thee. Stick around. From WNYC Studios, this is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. And I hope you enjoyed all of the references to the Canadian National Anthem that you just heard there in that opening sequence to the show, which I worked so hard to craft so thoughtfully, and I was so amused by it. And then my producer, Ann Sanny, who is married to a Canadian, missed every single one of the references. So to the three Canadians who picked up on them, you're welcome. All right, let's get into this here. Ophira Eisenberg and Matty Matheson have pretty different backstories. Ophira grew up in Calgary, out west. That's like the Texas of Canada. It's known for rodeos and oil. Matty grew up in the east, in a small town across the border from Buffalo, New York. Ophira graduated from McGill, the Harvard of Canada. Matty dropped out of culinary school to go on tour with a death metal band. But they both grew up feeling like outsiders. Matty couldn't wait to escape to the big city, Toronto. And Ophira grew up Jewish in a part of Canada where the only Jew most people knew was Jesus. So that's where we began when we talked live on stage at Taste Talks in Brooklyn. Ophira, you grew up Jewish in Calgary.
Yeah, so I thought until I moved to New York, maybe I was raised Protestant. I have no idea.
I actually looked it up. There's like 10,000 Jews in all of Alberta province.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Being Jewish in Utah.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot.
Tell me about what that was like growing up. Like, did you guys have a lot of the traditional Jewish foods in your house?
I am not very, in New York and in a lot of diverse places, I am not very ethnically diverse looking, but I was definitely the other in my class, and with friends came over because we ate a lot of Mediterranean food. They thought our food was crazy and weird. They were like, they served the hummus. Back when that was odd.
But were you guys were more like Middle Eastern Jewish, as far as food goes, more Middle Eastern Jewish,
that's
less
right.
like Eastern European
that's
Jewish.
Right.
So
yes.
like not a lot of bagels and lox.
No. It was because my dad was Israeli even before it was Israel. Israeli.
Okay. That must have been quite a culture shift. Moving from the Middle East to Canada.
Oh, yeah. Especially the mentality, right? Because he never said sorry. That's for sure.
And Maddie, you talked about how your parents grew up way in the east part of Canada, and you sort of slowly made your way towards Toronto. Tell me about your grandfather.
My grandfather?
Yeah.
John was cool. He was my dad actually grew up, like, he was a RCMP. So my...
What's that?
Like, Mounties. He was
Mounties.
A Mountie.
Oh,
shout out to Mounties.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he was a Mountie up in Whitehorse. So my dad literally grew up driving, like, dog sleds, wearing, like, polar bear fur, igloos, like, all that kind of shit. Like, for real, my dad grew up in that. And then when my grandfather retired from being a Mountie, he opened up a curling rink. And then he sold the curling rink, and he opened up the Blue Goose, which was a restaurant in Prince Edward Island. And he had that for about 20 years.
I don't even feel Canadian sitting next to this
I'm
guy.
Canadian as fuck.
That was everything. That was everything.
Yeah, like you just checked off every box right there. Yeah. We can go.
A curling rink?
Respect.
Really? And
right.
to throw that in?
But when you were little, am I right that like your grandfather's restaurant and his work in food, that was a big part of your growing up?
Yeah, man. Like we would go every summer and hang out at the Blue Goose. So he had this little small shitty apartment attached to the restaurant. And so when we would go there and stay, my parents would sleep on a pull-out couch and we would sleep in the, like, he had a soda pop shop part of the restaurant and we would sleep in the booths. But then I have two brothers and a sister, so we would, like, sleep in the booths, and then at 5 a.m., we'd have to wake up and go and play in the backyard until, like, fucking the restaurant was actually open and going, and then we would just go, like, sit at a table and, like, eat, like, club sandwiches or, like, fuck around. And then we would, like, there was a door in his apartment that would go right into the kitchen. We would open up the door and you'd see like the flames and the hustle and bustle and like the smell. They made everything. They made all the pickles, all the bread. It was an amazing, like, I still can visually see it and smell it. And it's like, it's really cool that, I don't know. I think that was a big, like, I never thought I was going to be a chef or anything like that. But I think having that kind of foundation is cool. Later in life, I went back to it and been like, yo, that's why I kind of have that in me, I think.
What are your parents... How does it feel now to have attained this level of success? Like, how does it make your parents feel?
Oh,
what
man,
they
my mom cries, like, every time. She's ridiculous. She's just like, I'll be like, she'll come to the restaurant and, like, cry when she's leaving. Aww. Still. Like, she's like, I can't believe the pick. And I'm just like, yo, Joan, chill out. My cooks are going to think I'm soft.
Coming up, much more with Ophira and Maddie. Ophira explains poutine's proper place in the worlds of food and romance, and I'll tell the story of the time I tried to smuggle maple butter across the Canadian border. Stick around. Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC Studios. I'm Dan Pashman. In last week's show, producer Ann Sanny and I announced our New Year's food resolutions for 2016, the foods that we both resolved to eat more of in the new year. So you can check that out. This week, I want to announce another resolution, and that is that we're going to take the Sporkful email newsletter to the next level. We're going to put it out more regularly, and we're going to add two new sections to it called What We're Eating and What We're Reading. Ann and I will each tell you something that we ate in the past week that was especially delicious. And we'll tell you something that we read online, like an article, a recipe, a feature, a video, whatever it was, something that we saw that was food-related that we thought was especially cool that we wanted to share with you. So if you want to know what we're eating and what we're reading, sign up to receive the Sporkful newsletter today. Go to sporkful.com/newsletter. Or text. Right now, you can just send a quick text and you'll be set up. It's super quick and easy. Text Spork News to 69866. I'll see you in your inbox. Now, let's get back to Ophira Eisenberg and Maddie Matheson. We'll pick it up with poutine. Again, in case you're unfamiliar, poutine is French fries topped with cheese curds and gravy. Here's Ophira's take.
You eat poutine in Quebec at 2 a.m. Yeah. And that is it. If you do any other version of that, it's not poutine. You're not celebrating poutine.
Yeah.
You are supposed to come to a point in your evening where you're very drunk and you look at the person you're with and you go, should we have sex or should we have poutine? The answer is always poutine, by the way. Yeah. That is the answer every time.
And sex in the morning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the gourmet versions and the artisanal poutine kind of craze that's happening drives me crazy because I'm just like, we need to know.
Well, I think it's just like a bastardized thing where it's like, yo, poutine's supposed to be like a chicken-based gravy with cheese curds. From Quebec,
squeaky
that are squeaky
cheese.
Motherfuckers.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And, like, you eat them and it tastes like you're chewing on a fucking rubber glove.
Exactly.
Like, that's what's up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some, am I right, though, that sometimes it could be traditional in Canada to have some kind of smoked meat on top also?
Yeah, I don't fuck with that kind.
No?
Like,
okay.
I think it's, like, my favorite poutine is with, like roasted pulled chicken and, like, peas. That's, like, a big thing. Like, can of, like, gray
can
peas. Like, that on top and, like, chicken and, like, curd. Like, that's what I would, like, that's my favorite. I think smoked meat is such a crazy thing that it's, like, it needs to be just, like, on a piece of bread and you eat it like a sandwich.
Right.
Yeah, and as soon as you put it on, like, poutine's fucking crazy as is. Like, when people start putting, like, you can put, like, hot dogs and chicken and ground beef and smoked meat. I'm like, what? Like, the person that's going to eat that thing is a fucking monkey, you know? Like, it's like, what kind of a person wants to eat something? Like, they're just like, are you from a jail?
Right.
Like, I don't get it.
What happened to you?
But
right?
Can I throw out a suggestion that I think is a little controversial, not totally traditional, but sometimes it takes an outsider to see things a new way.
Right.
I have been to Quebec, and yeah. I had like five or six different poutines in five or six different places. I was not drunk most of the time. I'm sorry. but like, you know, it wasn't always. I had a couple, you know, higher end ones, but I had a couple at like roadside shacks.
Yeah.
So I got it all. The idea is you put the cheese curds on the fries. The cheese curds are typically cold or room temperature when they hit the fries. And then you put the hot gravy on, which kind of melts the cheese curds, but not a lot.
You don't want it melted all.
And then it also, the gravy turns the fries soggy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be better if you took the fries, topped them with cheese curds, threw them in the broiler for a minute, melt the cheese, then serve it with the gravy on the side?
No.
So you can dip the crispy, not soggy fries with fully melted curds into the gravy on a per bite basis.
See, this is the problem.
Sounds
you
stressful,
weren't drunk.
Right?
You were not drunk, and that's why you had
like
these
I think
thoughts.
It's like, that's not what it is. Like, by the end of it, it should be like almost like a solidified like terrine. And it's just like, you're just like smashing this thing. It develops as it's like opening up a nice bottle of wine. You know, that shit develops, and it's like, yo, at first, you got that like kind of melted cheese curd. The gravy's wicked hot, and the fries are crunchy. And then halfway through, it's like, oh fuck, this is changing into this crazy thing. This is changing, yeah, dog. And then all of a sudden, by the end, you're just like, ugh. It like turns into how you feel. Like you're stoked, you're like, crispy, crunchy, all these different beautiful textures.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, by the end of it, you're just like soulless, and you're just like eating this thing.
Yeah, you never go another after poutine.
No.
When given the choice
yes.
between poutine and sex, and when you chose poutine, did you ever regret that choice and wish you had chosen sex?
That is the most American question I've ever heard in my entire life.
All right, let's move on.
Yo.
Montreal bagels.
Yeah, respect.
Ophira, let me turn to you first.
Well, I lived in between the two bagel stores. I lived on Saint-Urbain. Fairmount Bagels was on one side. Saint-Viateur Bagels was on the other side, and I just went back and forth between them for 4 years.
And do you have a preference?
Fairmount, strangely.
Yeah.
Maddie?
I don't know. I'm not like some artisanal fool. Like, I'll eat whatever's... Like, I've gone into, like, Saint-Viateur. I was there with, like, I don't know, 3 years ago. I was there, and we, like, bum-rushed the shop and, like, made them let us in, and we were just, like, crushing these hot, fresh bagels
at
5 in the morning.
Oh, yes.
And that was, like, my last kind of, like, real bagel experience, I think. But it's a different thing. It's, like, a tighter, like, almost, like, in between a bagel and a pretzel here, where it's, like, the New York bagels are, like, big, fluffy. Badass thing.
Well,
like,
but New York bagels did not used to be that way. And as discussed here on the Sporkful in the past, there is a crisis.
Right.
That's right.
In New York bagels, they have inflated to the point that their trademark holes are closing. They're
it's
bagels
like a
anymore.
Bun. It's just like a crazy bun.
Like, a bagel is more than the shape.
Yeah.
So I do think that, like, a great New York bagel is more the shape and texture and, you know, chewiness and crispiness of a Montreal bagel. The difference, I think, that's more interesting is the sweetness of the Montreal bagel. Like, what's something that you think goes really well with a Montreal bagel but would not go as well with a New York bagel?
I don't know. Like, I love, like, my perfect, like, bagel is, like, is like, a fucking, like, fresh bagel with, like, cream cheese, jam, and, like, bacon on it. Like, that's my favorite.
That sounds good.
That's, like, I always, like, that's my thing. But I feel like the difference, like, because the, like, the Montreal bagel is, like, thinner, and it's, like, smaller, and it's, like, it's harder, right? It's a hard bagel. And I think that like the New York thing is more like a bun where you can put like I like all the bagel shops you can get like they're just sandwich shops.
Yeah.
It's like a sandwich shop, but there it's like no, you just go and you get a bag of like you would never put like an egg salad sandwich because you it would like just smash everywhere.
You're right. I wouldn't do like lettuce and tomato and yeah, put some meat. But like that seems too much.
Right. But yeah, I mean, I think that that's a problem with American bagels, like New York bagels. Like it shouldn't be
a donut.
Shouldn't be a donut, but also like bagel sandwichization, like it just doesn't lend itself very well. Like you know, like bagels are not a great platform for a sandwich.
It's not
you
a
know?
Sandwich vehicle.
A lot of things get forced out the back. There's a lot of structural issues.
Yeah, a lot of napkins.
Yeah, let's talk maple syrup.
Yo.
And all maple based products, which
yo, I fuck with maple.
How do you fuck with maple?
I just think it's like the greatest thing in the world. Like, I guess, like, in Vermont, those dudes, like, fuck with some maple syrup and stuff. But it's, like, I still feel like Montreal maple syrup is something very special and very close to, like, I cook a lot of French food, and then I was, like, oh, my God, you can put maple syrup on anything. And then it turned into, like, this kind of, like, ridiculous thing that ran off the road, and everyone was just, like, maple syrup bacon on your fucking
right,
martini
right,
and
right.
maple syrup, like, asshole shit. And so it's just, like, it's kind of like this thing where it's, like, now you got to, like, reserve it and like use it very specifically.
Right. This is a funny story I'll tell you. I my wife and I did like a baby moon in Quebec. Like before we had our first kid, we went up to Quebec City, spent 4 or 5 days there, ate a ton of poutine and anything with maple syrup in it, ice cream and maple cream and yep. maple butter. And I fell in love with maple butter. Yeah. And I wanted to bring some home. And when I bought a jar of it. When I bought the jar, I thought like, oh, this could be an issue with airport security. I don't know if this counts as liquid. You know, I'll roll the dice. Sure enough, get to airport security to come home. They say, you can't bring this with you. I said to the guy, what if I scoop out half of it and then it'll only be 3 ounces left in the jar? Would that be okay? He's like, no. Like, here I am, like, negotiating. Right. So that's going to get me anywhere.
Yeah.
he's like, look, you got two choices. You can either go back downstairs to the desk and check your bag right. with the maple butter, or you can throw the maple butter out. And I was like, I was freaking out because, like, I really wanted this maple butter, but I really didn't want to check a bag and deal with the baggage claim in New York. My wife, like, very quickly lost patience with me, and she's like, I'm going through security. Like, I'll see you on the other side. Like, peace. Yeah. So she left me there alone. The security guy's like, look, sir, you're going to need to stand over on the side so you can make up your mind. Like, there's a line forming. You're making a scene. Yeah. So I stand over on the side. I'm having my own little crisis. I talk to this older woman security guard. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't want to check a bag. But you know, she goes, but that maple butter's really good. I was like, all right, you're right. I'm going to check the bag. I go back downstairs to the counter. And the counter's closed because it's too close to the flight. So it's too late to check my bag.
Oh, no.
So now really, what do I do? So I go to the next counter over, different airline, to just like talk to the guy, see if he has any guidance. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. You know, maybe I'll just throw it out. And he goes, no, you can't. That stuff's really good. You know? So then he starts strategizing with me about like trying to tell, like coach me through sneaking the maple butter through security. All right. He's like, if you put it in a Ziploc bag and you roll it up just right, they might not be able to tell that it's liquid. I'm like, I think they're going to check my bag pretty closely when I get back up there. I kind of already made a scene once, like they know me now.
Yeah.
And I said, but what if I have a prescription bottle in here with my allergy medicine? What if I dump the pills into my bag and I have this little vial? Can I put the maple syrup in there? It's a small container. He said, yes, that'll work. He said, put the as much as you can in the vial and then bring me the rest of the jar.
This is insane.
Right. So then I go over, I sit down on the floor in the airport, and I have no utensils, so I'm using my bare hands to scoop maple butter out of this jar and cram it into this prescription vial, jamming it, and I'm like up to my elbows covered in maple butter, yeah. And I'm sweating, and I'm focused and tense. I look like I was assembling a bomb.
Yeah.
Like, I would have called the cops on me, okay? I get all the maple butter, and then I go to the bathroom, and I like have to take a shower now. I give the rest of the jar to the guy at the United counter. I go back upstairs. I go through security. My vial of maple butter makes it through security. Go to find my wife. Come around the corner. First thing I see, a giant display with 20 different kinds of maple butter available for sale. So I bought 3 more jars.
Yeah, good.
so stressful.
I love that there was someone trying to help you smuggle. Right.
That is how nice Canadians thing. Are. That's
right. Respect. Really nice. Smuggling's cool.
Yeah.
Man, that maple butter was so good. It was worth everything I went through. I would do it all again. And if you want some authentic Canadian maple butter, I'm going to send a jar of it to one lucky Sporkful listener. Details on how to win at the end of this show. But first, a couple quick closing thoughts here on poutine. Is poutine stealing jobs from hardworking cheese fries? Or does poutine do a job that cheese fries won't do? And yeah, that's sort of a funny joke about immigration, but really what we're saying is, like, is poutine a variation on cheese fries? Or, you know, to sort of trace its Quebecois origins more properly, is it more a variation on chips and gravy or on Belgian approaches to fries or frites? And I feel like clearly it has that lineage. And that's why I had this idea. Like, I feel like the gravy should be on the side and you should dip it on a per bite basis to preserve the crisp of the fries. Now, I will stand by the fact that that's delicious. But I think Maddie and Ophir are right that that is not poutine. Poutine, it really is now its own thing. Because Belgian frites or chips and gravy or cheese fries or disco fries, those all have one thing in common, and that is that they are essentially seasoned fries. They're fries with something on top. That's not what poutine is. Poutine is a unity. You pour that gravy on top, it congeals, it unifies, and it becomes something different. It is a dish, a unified and unique dish in which French fries are one ingredient. That is what poutine is, and it's delicious. My thanks to Ophira Eisenberg, a great comic who hosts the public radio game show Ask Me Another from NPR and WNYC, as well as the Moth's monthly story slams in New York. Check out her book, Screw Everyone, Sleeping My Way to Monogamy. And thanks to Maddie Matheson. He's the chef at Parts and Labor in Toronto. Toronto, I've been working on saying that correctly. He also hosts the show Keep It Canada for Vice and their food site Munchies. We'll post some of his videos at sporkful.com. And by the way, we'll also post some photos of the many poutines that I ate across Quebec when I was there. I got photos. They're up at sporkful.com. Quick reminder, if you want to keep tabs on what producer Ann Sandy and I are eating and reading, please sign up for our new and improved Sporkful email newsletter. And that's also how you enter to win the jar of maple butter, you guys. Get on the list by January 26th at noon Eastern, and you're in. If you're already on the list, you're already entered. And even if you don't win this time, there's going to be another contest soon, so just get on the list now. You'll thank me later. Go to sporkful.com/newsletter or text SPORKNEWS to 69866. You can do it right now. Again, sporkful.com/newsletter or text SPORKNEWS to 69866. This show is a production of WNYC Studios and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani and me. Our engineer was Rick Kwan. Special thanks to Allison Bryce, Jennifer Mills, and everyone at Taste Talks Brooklyn. Thanks as well to Paula Schumann and Ed Haber. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Fraser from Toronto, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.